and her example of motherhood. We have some difficulties, not with her so much as with the false teachings that have come out of Rome in modern times. And they were not so in the beginning, but in modern times, the assumption of the Virgin Mary, and that is to place her up on deity level. The other error and heresy was the Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Mary. That is also not a conception, it's a misconception. For Mary was an ordinary person, a sinner, that needed to be saved by grace. She had a normal birth and so forth. So therefore she ought not to be, and she would not want to be, exalted to the place of deity that she is now, and to receive the prayer and so forth and all the statues and idolatry that goes with that. She would not want you to do that. You know, Mary made that great statement about the Lord. She said, "Whatsoever he saith, do it." And that was her stand on the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I felt the Lord leading us to look at some of the things about this godly mother that can be a blessing to us all, and especially to encourage mothers among us, that the Lord would bless you in your wonderful and God-given task. Now please look at the scriptures, Luke chapter 1, and we'll read some verses from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. And this is not a Christmas message either, so I'm going to be careful about that. The birth of Jesus foretold, starting at verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, her cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age." Another miracle here as well. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." And another affirmation here, "Be it unto me according to thy word." So there's a wonderful truth there. She loved the word of God, and the word of God was the overriding thing in her life, and the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, now as we enter into this message, we pray that you'd guide us by your Spirit. So much could be said, and I pray that you just give guidance tonight, that the things that you want said will be said, and that we would be drawn closer to you, our God, and that we would be more apt and more ready to serve you in these days. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This indeed was a most unusual event, a most unusual thing, that the angel would come and announce to this young woman, this virgin woman, that she was going to to give birth to a wonderful Saviour, a sign to men and women. Back in the book of Isaiah, the prophecy was given concerning the Lord Jesus, that he would be born. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, that he would be born in this miraculous way. And this was a sign for Israel, and wonderfully fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which obviously means God with us. God with us. Nothing could be clearer. The modern versions make the claim that they are giving you a clearer rendition, and they are helping you with the language and to understand. Beloved, that is a lie of the devil. An absolute lie of the devil. Satan has gotten in to this matter. He does not want the virgin-born Saviour lifted up and exalted. He does not want that. And he is working today to bring it all together in a one-world religion. And you can see that. And they're even trying to incorporate Islam and the Church of Rome is trying to involve itself in the same thing. Even evangelicals in the Chicago area are involved in a Bible version which brings together Islam, and instead of calling it the Lord, they've called it the Islamic, called him the Islamic name. And this is all part of the corruption. And indeed, to render this verse in any other way would be a corruption. Who needs a clearer version? Amen? Look at this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, is that clear? How much clearer could you make it? Amen? There it is, a clear statement. The Lord is going to give a sign. What is a sign? A sign is something which God does in order to bring attention to himself and his plan, in order to capture the attention, and it is a thing that he does which is according to his truth and according to his word. And so here he is going to give this special sign. Now let me ask you this question. Is it any special sign if just a young lady gives birth to a baby? Is that any special sign? Not at all. It's happening all the time and happening too frequently, sadly to say, in these days. How sad it is to see the moral corruption and so forth that is in the world. But here we find it's very clear. This is a sign a virgin is going to conceive. Now we know that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. She is going to bear a son. And the name of the son is not going to be Joe or Fred or anything else. It's going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a wonderful truth, amen? God with us. And how wonderful that is, that God came among us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name is Emmanuel. He goes by many names. You've got a few names to your account as well. If we were to ask you what your middle names were, I'm sure we could have a comedian show on, you know. The things that people give names, you know, middle names and what have you. But we're not in the business of church comedy. What we are pointing out here is that this is one of the wonderful names. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Jehovah saves, the Lord is our salvation. Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. And there you have a number of different names in the scripture. But she is told that this is going to be an amazing sign from the Lord. Isaiah gives us another wonderful sign concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 53. And talks about the servant who would suffer and who would die. There shall grow up before him a tender plant, As a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is our wonderful crucified Saviour, the one promised, the one who came as babe of Bethlehem, now fulfills his great mission as Saviour, to die in our place for our sins, to redeem us. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here we see our suffering substitute, the Lord Jesus, as spoken of over 700 years prior to his coming. These amazing prophecies. These amazing prophecies brought to motherhood a new perspective, if you like, with the virgin-born Saviour and then the crucified one. Both of these would cause great angst to the heart of a mother. And indeed, the announcement that this one was going to be born of Mary caused her great angst, because she had not known a man. She was a godly young lady. She was holy and had her body committed to the Lord, and she knew not a man. So when she was told of this, it caused her great heart searching. She was troubled in mind, the Bible says, cast in her mind, churned up in the mind, what manner of salutation this should be. So she asked the Lord, "Lord, what is this? What is this that you are telling me?" Here is a young lady that had sought to do the right thing with her life. She had not played around sexually. She was not loose and all those sort of things. And so when she was told, it brought a little heartache to her, that she was told that she would have a child in this way. And she had sought to be a testimony for God in living a holy life. And this indeed is important, isn't it? I would encourage all of you young people to commit your body to the Lord. Give him everything. And remain that way. Keep yourself pure. And wait on the Lord to bring along that life partner, so that you can be blessed wonderfully in these things. But here she was then a holy woman, and this caused her some heartache. It's interesting that these great signs that Isaiah gave both involve hardship and heartache for a mother, because this mother then would see her son taken and rejected of wicked men, and crucified upon a cruel cross. Oh, how terrible that was. And she would be called upon to endure these things. And what a heartbreak that was to her. But she knew more than that. She was a godly woman, and she rejoiced in the fact that through these things, salvation would come. The Saviour would come, and blaze a trail of victory through death, who would overcome sin and give us an overcoming life, and call upon us to trust in him and enjoy that wonderful victory life that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we find that she is told of this event, that it would be taking place, and she went to the Lord about it. She did not become bitter about this. She did not take it personally and accuse God falsely and wrongly. "Why, God, are you doing this to me? How embarrassing, God. I would say that women, a lot of women are completely dominated by the thought of others and what they think of them. How embarrassing. How am I going to face these people? You know, how am I going to convince them that I'm a holy and a good lady, lived a pure life for God, and so forth. So she did not respond in that way, but rather she went to the Lord with her question. And God wonderfully answered her question. Do you have questions tonight about the things of God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about motherhood? The Bible has the answer. Let me recommend the Word of God to you. And the best commentary on Scripture is the Scripture. You know, the theologians debate and malign Isaiah 7:14 about whether or not he's talking of the Virgin Mary. But I tell you what, you just have to open your Bible to Luke chapter 7, and that refutes all of the rubbish that those there theologians talk about when they talk about the Bible and stuff like that. It refutes it because it's very clear in designating the fact that this is a special sign from the Lord and a special one that is going to come. And indeed, he is going to be called Jesus. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. This is the work of the Holy Spirit upon her. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. It's interesting how this godly woman, in order to understand what was happening to her, she needed a lesson here on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say, dear ladies and dear mothers, today you need a lesson in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be the mother that you should be, if you're going to raise the children as God would have it, if you're going to stand the test of time and the things that are in the world and the temptations that are in the world of this time, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. But here, indeed, this was a particular and special work of the Holy Spirit to cause her to give birth in this way. It was the work of the Father God. Joseph was never her father, never his father. This was the work of the Father God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It was not a work done in a physical sort of a way, as we would often think of it, but rather a work of the Spirit of God moving. The same God who created this human body, the same God that created womanhood, is the God who knew all of the workings and was able to bring this about in a miraculous way without violating any legal and moral laws of God. And so this took place. The same God that created a womanhood and created and fashioned her to be a mother. The same God who put them in the garden and who created them, male and female, created he them. You would be shocked and amazed today in this day and age how many people are opting to try and change their gender. How much government money is spent in jails on people that are trying to change their gender while they're in jail. Beloved, what a terrible time we're in when people cannot accept the basics that God would give them. They cannot understand the basics of their special creation of God. Male and female created he them. It wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. And God intended for them to come together in a marriage relationship and to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. This was God's intention. And to keep the earth and to live in the beauty of it all, and serve the Lord with all these things. So it is that today we accept motherhood to be a valid employment from God. It is not a lesser thing for a woman to commit herself to loving her husband and her family and to live that way. It's a valid thing. A woman is created equal but opposite. She is different physically, if you haven't noticed. And indeed she is. Of God, of God's planning, of God's working. And what's wrong with that?
Amen.
Amen? What's wrong with God? No wonder they the first thing that Satan began to attack and the liberals cut out of the Bible, the first thing is the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. I wonder why. Is it because of their bitterness and anger against God who made them so? Is it because they're not happy with how they are and how they were made in a secular society like ours? In an affluent type of society, people are always wanting more or something different. They believe in the foolish adage, the grass is greener on the other side. It's not greener on the other side, but it is over the fence. You have to violate some things in order to get there. And it's of no blessing to you or society to cross the line. Be what God has intended you to be. Enjoy the blessings of what he has given you and how he has created you. That's a thing of creation. Motherhood is a special thing of creation by God. And it's something that they were to be blessed with. And indeed, the hand of God was to be upon them in order for things to really be blessed. So to be a mother is God's plan. Marriage and the family is God's plan. And we should not seek to change it or refute it or change the laws to fit what modern society wants. There's been epidemics in the past. There have been fads in the past that have gone as fast as they've come. And we pray God that that would be the case. So we see here then a wonderful event. A virgin woman is now going to have a tremendous young one in her care. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived in her old age. This was a work of God. And notice the comment there, with God nothing shall be impossible. God is a mighty God and he is able to work according to his dictates and plans. And so it is that he was able to do this. And we have a wonderful relative and friend of Mary's, Elizabeth, who has a wonderful preacher, John the Baptist. Amen. And one that, again, that this involved motherhood. She reared this young one, pretty young of age. He went into the wilderness and lived a life out there in the bush, and just enjoying what God provided, the olives and so forth that grew out there, the honey and the locusts and so forth. He was a rugged preacher of God's word. And again, this dear mother must have really felt it when his head was cut off. But, you know, this was a godly woman who was given to the plan of God. So it was that Mary, once the announcement was made to her of what God was going to do, she decided to take a little holiday and to go down and spend 3 months with her relative Elizabeth. They shared that secret of God's working, of God's mighty plan, and they were looking to the future of God's wonderful revelation and his plan of salvation. These were spiritual women who loved the Lord and who looked for the salvation of Israel and longed to see the Saviour come and the salvation of the Gentiles such as you and I. And so they spent this wonderful time in fellowship together. And when Mary came in there in verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. These were spiritual people, spiritual women. Mother, be spiritual. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't just desire to be a little bit of a Christian. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit and give Him everything and yield it all to Him. Yield it all, from your toenails through to the last strand of hair. Everything you wear, give it all to God. Let Him check your hemlines and also your necklines, amen? Be pleasing unto Him. And so these godly women sought fellowship one with another. And that was so important. Ladies, you need fellowship with others of like faith. That's why you need to be in church. I'm glad to see such a nice turnout tonight here on Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is another one of those funny days. Sometimes you have to go and look after your mother's your responsibilities to your mother, and she might live a long way away. I always say, as a pastor over the years, have you contacted your mum today? I know she's living at home. Well, you have, but have you told her you love her and you appreciate her ministry and dedication in the family? You might need to make a phone call if she's further away. Or even fellas, do something unusual. Send her a bunch of flowers or a card or something, assuring her of your love and appreciation for her. But ladies, these two ladies gathered together and they rejoiced together in the Lord, and they built one another up in Christ, and they were wonderfully encouraged through all of this. And so it was that they were encouraged in the task that they would do as motherhood. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. It is a blessing to be a mother. A blessing from God. All right, you may not be carrying a special one like they did, but it is a blessing. And even the most difficult of them is a blessing, amen? And work with them and ask God for patience and grace that you can work with them, appoint them to the Lord, and to be a guiding hand in their lives and in their future. And so it was that these ladies gathered, they fellowship. But here we see some spiritual insight into the heart of Mary. And we look in verse number 46 with this. You see, Mary then, considering what had happened, all of those things, the Lord began to really work in her heart, and she was really rejoicing. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The Lord is going to fulfill His word and His prophecies. Be encouraged, church. The Lord is going to fulfill His word and His prophecies. He's not finished yet. He rose from the dead, ascended under the right hand of the Father, and there He reigns. And He will come again in supernatural glory. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, the saints raptured away, praise God. And we'll be forever with Him. But then He has a great plan in the future. And we better not get sidetracked there in that. Come to the prophecy conference. But here we see in 46 Mary's heart. She's lifted up. My soul doth magnify the Lord. You know, the thing is that she was told something which was about to happen. We know it happened, amen? So what's wrong with us? Why don't we praise Him more? Why don't we rejoice more? Why don't we raise up our voices in testimony out there and to magnify the Lord is to make Him great, is to make a lot about Him, okay? Again, we could be sidetracked there. The young lady, she's about to be married, and there is no one like Prince Charming, amen? He's the greatest, you know, and the wedding's going to be amazing. He's coming in on his white stallion and puts her away, or maybe the carriage will pull up out the front of the church. I did conduct the wedding that was that way, where the carriage pulled up out the front of the church. What an impression that made on the locals. There you go. And I was at another wedding where bride and groom were whisked away in a white carriage with horses and all the rest of it. It's a wonderful thing to get excited about that. But we should get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his bride. And there's a lot involved in that and a lot to happen. Verse 47, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Saviour. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Well, that's all right. You can rejoice because everything's going so well for you. No, rejoicing is for when things are not going well. We need to give thanks when things are going, as far as we're concerned, not well. You see, this was a problem, though. Mary had to announce to her husband, her betrothed husband, that she was with child. Well, there were some difficulties that yet she had to overcome in relation to this. And he was a godly man, and he was casting his mind as well about what was going to happen. But she was praising the Lord for his choice. God, my Saviour. Above all else, he is the Saviour. Jesus, Saviour, make much of the Lord. 48, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. Well, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. She didn't get around among her friends and others and, wow, I'm a step above you. You know, this is what they're so wrong about what they've done with Mary in the modern churches. You know, that's so wrong to lift her up in that way. She is humble, a humble woman of God, lowly. I mean, to go to Bethlehem, to have a baby, to put it in a manger. That's not five star. Amen? It's the opposite end of the spectrum. And yet she was willing to do so for God's glory. It was his plan. She was a humble woman of God. And she did the will of God. How beautiful that was. From henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Why? There's only one person that was called upon to do this, and that was her. And I think she did it well, and she is worthy to be called blessed because she humbled herself and she committed herself to this calling of life, and she was willing to serve and to do what she had to do in this service for the Lord. How many of you ladies would be putting up for a ride into town or a bit further on a donkey and you're about to give birth? How many are you up for a ride on a donkey? You want a Rolls Royce? Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're not going to get it. God knows what you need. He's just give you a Mini instead, amen? That's what my wife was driving when I met up with her. And one day she was broken down, out of petrol, broken down in the middle of the road where I was going home from work. And there I had to help a damsel in distress, and I've been helping her ever since, amen? Don't tell her I told you that. You know, she'll be back. I don't know when she'll be back. She'll be back, so be careful. Let's be careful now. Okay. But what a wonderful thing it was then, this lowly woman, humble and so on, willing to suffer and serve the Lord. Are we willing to do that? In this day of mod cons and all the rest of it, are we willing to take the humble part? Are we willing to just do the will of God and serve him faithfully, no matter what the cost, no matter what the future, and so forth? For he that is mighty hath done great things for me. We serve a mighty God. He's a great and mighty God. Holy is his name. Holiness is a key attribute to our great God, and he wants us to be holy like he is. Mercy, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She knew that what God was doing in sending the Saviour was all of mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Mercy. You see, mercy is a word that describes, again, these Bible words, how King James translates accurately. In modern versions, put all sorts of other words in its place because the scholars are too proud to humble themselves and exalt the mercy of God and the blood of the Lamb. Here we see the mercy that is on them. It was a merciful act in God sending his Saviour. And she knew that, and she was spiritual in her outlook. And that's the thing about this lady. She was spiritual in her outlook. It's not always that you find ladies and mothers that are spiritual in their outlook, even though they say that they are Christ's, even though they have the wonderful promises of God. Yet, they live a lot lower than that level. Don't be like that. Thank God for his mercy. This is his grace that he saved us. He has shown the strength with his arm and scattered the proud in their imaginations. You know, the strength of God, he is a mighty God and he is able to do great and mighty things. The proud have a terrible end ahead of them. They'll be scattered and they'll be found in a devil's hell. And then the proud and the imaginations of their heart, they're going down, brothers. They're not on the way up. Although they behave like proud peacocks as though that they rule the world, yet they're going down. These Hollywood housewives, they're going down. You know, that filth and garbage that they put on television as though these people were amazing heroes and so forth, but they're not. They're proud and they're going down in judgment. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away. You know, this is Mary's testimony. She obviously was a humble person, lived in a very humble circumstance, growing up and so forth, and was used to not having a real lot. But here she rejoiced that the Lord had fed. He filled and fed her with good things, but the rich he sent away empty. You know, isn't it sad that these people that have their riches and so forth are building their bigger barns by building another skyscraper and so forth, but they're ungodly and God's judgment is upon them. And how sad it is. But he exalts those of low degree, fills the hungry, sends the rich away. Oh, the rich man and Lazarus we read about in the Bible. The rich man that went down into hell. And Lazarus who was wonderfully saved by the grace of God, the mercy of God. He hath filled the hungry with good. And the rich he has sent away empty. Oh, how sad, he would save them, you know, if they'd humble themselves and bow the knee. Verse 54, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Israel is going to be rejoicing in the mercy of God in due course. And that's pretty prophetic. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Here's Mary then enjoying fellowship, rejoicing in God's doings and willing to be part of God's amazing plan as she submitted herself to the Lord. Let me suggest, mothers, that you develop a godly attitude. Here are some wonderful directions in Mary's Magnificat, Mary's song of praise and exaltation of the Saviour. And true motherhood should be all about that. Not only in your life, but in the lives of those little ones, those young ones, those not so young ones, that they would grow to love and serve the Lord. Keep praying for them. If they're wandering and straying, keep praying for them. And keep pointing them to the way that they might find the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and call upon him as Saviour and Lord. Truly, He is a great God, a great Saviour. We have the beauty of hindsight to look back upon this, to gaze upon the scene of Bethlehem's manger, to know then that He went through and did miraculous things through His life and ministry, and then He died on the cross, was crucified for our sins and paid the price through His precious blood to save any sinner that would call upon Him. The Saviour has done it all. Jesus did it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He went on then to rise again from the dead, ascend up into the glory, and those who are trusting in Him will be with Him in glory at the point of death. He's a wonderful Saviour. And then the associated things of His return. How wonderful that will be. Mary could see these things as she looked on the future, for she had the Word of God and she was a spiritual woman. We have the Word of God. Let us be spiritual. Let us have the same faith and hope that she had in these dark days. Let us go on with the Lord. Let us rejoice in a great and mighty God as we have. And let us walk closer to our Lord Jesus Christ and fulfill our God-given responsibilities. I'm so thankful for mothers. They're a blessing. They're a blessing in the church. They're a blessing. They have valuable ideas. They should be listened to. They also need to know who the leadership is and, be reminded of that. But it should be godly leadership in love. In love. All this abuse business, isn't it terrible? A husband, love your wife. Encourage her as mother and grow together in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Mother, serve the Lord and go on for God. May the Lord bless godly mothers. Let's pray. Let's have every head bowed.